We thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing. Father, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We praise you and magnify your name. We glorify you and we bless you, Lord God. We're thankful people tonight, Father, as we remember the things that you have done for us. Father God, we also look at that which you have already done for us. And Father, it instills a great confidence in us in what you will do in our lives. For what you have done, you can do again. And what you have done indicates that you can do more. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, tonight, help us to speak in a way that people will receive it, that will be ministered to the people, and that people can receive the word, your word, Lord, and it'll make a difference in their life. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory to God. It's good to see all of you tonight. You can be seated. It is good to be here tonight. And I'm as disappointed as you are that Pastor Hagin's not here, in that I wanted to hear him. You know what I'm saying? But I do consider it an honor to stand here and to teach the word tonight. And don't take it lightly that he would let me stand in his pulpit. And so we honor, we just think it's a great honor to help the Hagins and the Rhema family in what we're doing around the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's exciting to look at that and see what's happening and then realize that we're a part of it. Amen. Praise God. And so I want to speak tonight on just a little while on the fact that Jesus came to do the will of the Father and what that means to us today. And so in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9, we see that the writer of Hebrews says this. He said, behold, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that is, covenant, that he may establish the second covenant. And actually, the writer of Hebrews is actually quoting or actually making reference to Psalms chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. It's not an exact quote, but it's a reference to that. And so we know this, that Jesus came to do the will of the Father, didn't he? And we know this, then, that he didn't come to do his own thing. He came to do what the Father told him to do and to do the Father's will. And the Father's will was to redeem mankind, to restore mankind back into relationship with him, open the way so that man can receive what God has for him. Isn't that right? And so we know that Jesus, really when it comes down to it, Jesus only came for one reason, and that was to do the will of the Father. He let nothing interfere with that. He let nothing interfere with doing the will of the Father. And today, I'm just watching as I have a privilege of being meeting lots of people and talking to lots of people and observing a lot of people. And I've just seen where there's a number of people, and it gives me a little bit of concern when people easily move around saying, well, the Lord told me to go here and the Lord told me to go there. And you know, the Lord is moving people. The Bible does say this, that he sets people in the body as it pleases him. And so we know that to be true. And so we know that's a good thing. Isn't that right? Good to be in the place that God tells you to be. But then on the other hand, I just look around at some of these things, and people are moving without regard to what the Word of God says. Or I see the flip side of it, and that is because they had something happen in their life when they did step out and try to do something for God and fell, and it didn't work. It fell flat on their face or something like that. And so they just refuse anymore to do anything. They just sat where they're at, and they said, we're not doing this anymore, and we're just going to be here. This is safe, and so this is where it's going to be. And so I see people on one side and I see people on the other side for various reasons. And so I want to just take a look at this and see how important it is, first of all, to be in the will of God, and then kind of some things to avoid, and then just kind of learn how to conform your will to the will of God. That's kind of what I hope to do tonight, and just do some teaching tonight. Is that okay with you tonight? And so, first of all, let's look again here in some of the scriptures here. Jesus revealed how important he thought it was to do the Father's will. By looking at some of these scriptures that he said. John chapter 4 verse 34, we're going to go through some of these real rapidly. He said that Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." In other words, the main thing, you know, I think one translation says, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." Well, you know, listen to me. Salad is usually not my main thing. Do you know what I'm saying? And so don't make any remarks about the way I look. But on the other hand, listen to me. The idea here is Jesus is communicating my main thing, my main staple, is to do the will of the Father, of the one who sent me. John chapter 5 verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. That right there is a big revelation. And we need to get that revelation. I can of myself do nothing. And he goes on and he says, "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Here's an idea. Jesus said, "I do things right, and I get it right. I don't make mistakes because I'm always seeking the Father's will." Isn't that interesting? So maybe we can minimize our mistakes by really focusing on endeavoring to make the being in the Father's will our main thing. Isn't that a good thing? And then over in John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He said, "I came down." This is the reason he came down from heaven. He said, "I came down." How many of you know Jesus was doing all right up in heaven before he came down? Isn't that right? But I want to tell you something. He came down to do the will of the Father, and that was to make a way for us so that we could follow God too. Isn't that right? John chapter 17, verse 4, it says here in his high priestly prayer, he says, "I glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given." Isn't that a good testimony? He said, "I finished what you sent me to do. I did it. I obeyed. I got it done." Of course, he did it with his help. Not apart from God, but he did it. He finished the work, and so that's a good testimony. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 through 44 is a familiar portion of Scripture, and it is where he prayed in the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and just before he went to the cross, and he prayed this way. In verse 39, he says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, 'O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Verse 40, "But then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Underline that word temptation right there. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. It says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In verse 42, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." In verse 43, "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." So we see that Jesus prayed the same prayer three times. Three times. And so what we have here is Jesus praying the prayer of consecration, meaning he said, "Whatever your will is, Father, I don't much like this right here, what I'm going through right now and what I'm getting ready to do. I really don't like it. And if there's any other way to do this," he said, "I really wish we could do it." But he said, "Whatever you want." And that's a worthy place to come to in our lives. And so we see by these verses that Jesus' priority was to spend time alone with the Father. And throughout the Gospels, we see where he would draw apart and pray, and he would seek the Lord. And what did he do? Well, he was seeking the will of the Father, what he was supposed to be doing. And so the most important thing in Jesus' life was to do the Father's will, and everything else gave place to that. Everything else in his life gave place to that. This was the most important thing to him. In other words, here's the deal. He didn't let popularity, he didn't let persecution, he didn't let difficult times, he didn't let the people's responses or their criticisms, their accusations or anything, he didn't even let death move him out of the Father's will. He stayed in the Father's will. He focused on that. He said, I could call down 12 legions of angels. But he didn't do it. Why? Because he knew if he did, then he'd be outside the Father's will. It's so important. Jesus so demonstrated so well how important it is to be in the Father's will. And I want to tell you something. We need to get a hold of that. I believe it'll solve some problems in our lives. And I see people that are restless. I see people that are some people on the other side. They're stuck. And so, you know, listen to me. There is a place where you can know that you're in the Father's will. Amen. Amen. Now, there's several verses that I'll refer to next. And they kind of caused a lot of concern for a lot of people. But let's just take a look at them. As you turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I want to say this to you. It is to our benefit to dwell in the will of God and to do what he tells us to do. It's to our benefit. Amen? And so I believe this, that you don't have to be afraid that you'll miss the will of God. God is big enough to tell you what to do. But on the other hand, some people are like this guy. This one guy, he had this Amish guy. He had this horse that just would stop several times. And he'd just stop here and there, and he'd go a little bit, and he'd stop again. And then the Amish guy would have to tell him to go again. And so a visitor was watching, and he said, is your horse sick? And he said, no. He said, does your horse have a problem going? Is he balking? What we would say, balking. It's a term we use for horses that don't want to go. Does he not want to go? Is he balking? No. He said, well, what's the problem with the horse? He's so afraid that he missed me hearing say, whoa, that he just wanted to stop once in a while and make sure. Well, you know, some people are kind of like that. They're so afraid they're going to miss the will of God that they just strain and strive, and they just work something up, and they just get themselves worked up and everything. And I want to tell you something. We don't have to do that. Our Father is big enough to tell us what to do. The problem is when we make up our own mind about what we want to do. That's really where the problem is. It's not, the issue is not whether we'll miss what the Father says. Let me tell you something. The Father is able to communicate with us. Amen. And I can relax and be confident in him. The danger comes again when I make up my own mind as to what I'm going to do. That right there is a whole lot different than not hearing what God has to say. You know what I'm saying? And so let's look at this just a little bit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Indicating that those who do the will of our Heavenly Father are the ones who get into the kingdom of heaven. Now look at verse 22 and 23. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so these verses have been of great concern to some people. And there's controversy to these verses because different people look at it differently. The Calvinists look at those verses and say, that's talking about somebody that was never saved to begin with. And so then you have on the other side, they have the Arminianists, and they say, well, you know, they use these verses to scare you into holiness and right living. Boy, you better not. You know what I'm saying? You better not. You know what? Do this or do that, you know? And then you have the evangelicals and the fundamentalists that take these scriptures and they say, aha, These verses let us know that the gifts of the Spirit and miracles are not for today, and it's not a good thing. It just creates bad things in the churches, and you can just really, God's going to throw you out. And so you, not everybody says it that way in those camps, but that's kind of the general idea that you have there. And so I want to tell you something. So we need to figure out or understand, let's put it this way, what's Jesus really saying? Well, really, it's really, really simple. He said there's a lot of good things. The idea there is there's a lot of good things you can do, but the question is whether it's really the will of God or not for your life. How many of you know there's a lot of good things you could do? Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get involved when you can and that kind of thing, but this is really talking more. This is really talking more about people that make a life decision, a career decision of some kind, and say, well, now I'm going to go do this for God. And so you got to learn to make sure that's really God. Come on now. And so people do make decisions because of different things. And so you said, well, that verse right 23, I really don't like that verse. It says there, what does that mean? I said, Brother Marvin, what does that really mean? It says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let me tell you this. I've looked at a lot of commentaries on that. They disagree on it. They disagree on it. Let me tell you, the conclusion I've come to is this. I don't want to get anywhere close to that. I don't want to live in such a way that that would even be an issue. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking at what I can get by with. I'm looking at how much I can be in the will of God and how much I can do for God and the kingdom. So that shouldn't even be an issue. I want to live in such a way that I when I get to heaven, I'm not even wondering whether he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you see, we ought to be much further along than that. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's true. I know that's true. Isn't that right? And so people do refuse to make moves when God speaks to them. And then sometimes people want to do certain things and they just press in. I know one preacher was having difficulty where he's at. And so we were talking to him, just visiting with him, and the fact that he was not having success in the community where he's at, simply because some bad things had happened, and it was in the past, but the community remembered. You know what I'm saying? So it's difficult. And so the question came up: Have you thought about? Asking the Lord if there's another place to be that where he could actually move on to someplace, because stuff happened, Well, he didn't say, I noticed his response. He didn't say, well, I believe the Lord would have me to be here. I believe it's the will of God. Here's what he said. He said this. He said, nope. He said that we're not going to do any of that. He said my kids are in school, and he said I'm not going to do anything. He said my family's established here, and so we're not doing anything. We're not going anywhere else. Now listen to me. You got to think about your kids. You got to think about your family when you're making a move. How many of you understand that? And that's absolutely the truth. But he wasn't even willing to bring up the subject. And so later, much later, I talked to him. I was visiting with him, and he was asking him, I said, how are your kids doing? He said, well, he said, my two boys, he said, they drink beer real good. That's what he said. The final end of that was that he lost his church, he lost his family, and he lost his life because he just wouldn't follow God. He just wouldn't consider doing anything else. He just stuck, doing some things and he just got bitter over some things and things that happened rather than seeking the Lord. Now, on the other hand, I know of another friend that got into a difficult situation and was went through some difficult times, and then there was a situation presented to him, and it looked very desirable for him, and he wasn't into it very long before he found out this was really not the will of God at all, and he mercifully got himself out of it. You know what I'm saying? And he told me this. He said, if I wouldn't have wanted it so much, I would have heard the Lord say that that's not for you. So that let me know this. There are some times that you can want something so bad that it's really your own desires that you're listening to than the will of God, than the voice of the Father. And so we need to recognize the need to focus on the being in the perfect will of God for our lives. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's say that last part together. That you may prove. Come on, let's say it together. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we need to focus on. That's where we need to be. I remember May 5th, 1998. That was on a Tuesday. And you would remember it too if it happened to you, what happened to me. I woke up and the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're in my permissive will. How many of you know that's different than being in the a perfect will of God? And I was startled. I was in the traveling ministry at the time, and we were doing about 130 meetings a year, and we had a new book come out, and we had all the equipment bought. We're getting ready to go on the radio, and we seen miracles. We seen people come out of wheelchairs and things like that, and just a lot of good things happening. And so it's easy when things are going that it's easy to think that you're in the perfect will of God. But I found this out, that you cannot go by external things to determine the will of God for your life. You can't go by how good it's going, and you can't go by how bad it's going. You really can't. You have to seek the Lord and go by the principles that are in the Word of God and listen to the voice of the Spirit and then get some wise counsel on top of that, godly counsel on top of that. Amen. Those things are not quick decisions. He went on to say this, he said, you're in my permissive will. But in order for you to be in my perfect will depends on some decisions other people have to make. But he said, it won't happen unless you pray. And so I spent that summer praying in the Spirit and seeking the Lord like I had never sought the Lord before. Because quite frankly, it kind of scared me when he said, you're in my permissive will. I'm really out there on the edge of where I want to be. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm out there on the edge. It's kind of like, how many of you ever drove by a pasture where you saw cows or horses, most of those cows are content to be within the fence and don't really try to crowd. But every once in a while, you got a fence crowder. You know what I'm saying? And they stick their head through the fence and want to get something else. Well, how many of you know that something could happen to that in that position, something could happen to that animal that wouldn't happen if they were further away back in the pasture. And so that's just how I felt. I felt like something could happen to me in this position if I was in the perfect will of God, wouldn't be in any danger. I just want to tell you, it's better to be in the perfect will of God. And I'm going to tell you something. God is merciful and helped us, and some other people made some decisions, and we were willing to do that and to follow God. So I just want to tell you, I'm just thankful because my family was involved in that. My wife and my children. They all know that being in the will of God is the most important thing. And whenever an issue came up concerning the will of God, they have to say this, that my family has flowed well. Has flowed well. And I'm really thankful for that. And so, because I know that there are times when somebody feels like they're supposed to be doing something for God, but their family is not in agreement. And I really feel a great sympathy for them. And people in our prayers like that, that are in situations like that. But now I want to give you seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven temptations that can take you as a believer out of the will of God if you're not careful. If these are things that can easily happen in your life, easily happen in any believer's life. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, just simply means we better watch out for them. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, Jesus said. And so let's look at these. Just number one, I would say it this way, ignoring God's will, whether it's out of fear or disobedience. Some people, you know, they ignore the will of God, hoping it'll go away, hoping God will change their mind, and it's simply because of fear about something that might have happened in the past or something like that. They say, well, it didn't go well, so we're not going there. No, 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 no. And so, or they're just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I know what that means, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not willing to do that. And so you have people ignoring God's will, just simply out of fear sometimes, or just straight disobedience. And so I understand that you're thinking right now, and so that's okay. And that's why you might be a little quieter right now. But second temptation is this, that they neglect feeding on the revelation within God's word. Now, I'm amused today at people who says, I think this is what God wants. And they've never once went into the word of God and looked in the word of God to see whether this is even scriptural. I'm amused at that. And it'd be funnier if it wasn't so sad. Isn't that right? As one great man of God used to say. And so I just want to tell you this. Listen to me. Not feeding on the word of God, not knowing the principles of the word of God, neglecting that and as a basis for making your decisions is a big mistake. You better base your decisions on the word of God, on what the word of God says. And even if you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, then let me tell you something. Go back and make sure it's in the word. Make sure it's in not just one scripture, but make sure it's in accordance with the rest of the whole counsel of God's word. Amen. The Holy Spirit would never say something to you that's really, that would be in disagreement to the word of God. Amen. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. How many of you would say this, that I can remember or recall at least one time that I thought I heard the Lord and it turned out it really wasn't. You know what I'm saying? We could all miss it. That's a possibility because we're all human. Isn't that right? So what do we need to do? Well, we need to go back to the word to see if these things are so. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we need to take time to look into the word of God. And not just find a scripture that'll go along with it, but is that scripture reflective, or all scripture reflective of what you're endeavoring to do? The third thing is neglecting to take time to seek God in prayer. They say, well, I'm just reading the word. I'm not much into prayer. I'm not much into that, but you know, I'm just a person of faith. I just believe the word. Well, that's fine as far as it goes, but really it's not enough. That we need to be people of the word, but we need to be people of prayer. We need to be seeking the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you this. I found this out, that God is not just going to hand out his will to people who just kind of lollygagging along in the kingdom and let them know what big things they're going to accomplish. You know why? Because God wants to know that he has our heart. And he wants our heart. He wants our heart to be turned toward him rather than setting us up for big things. But now listen to me. Those who have their heart truly turned toward the Lord are the ones that are in position to do great things. You see what I'm saying? So that's why somebody going along here not seeking the Lord, not praying much. Well, it's no small wonder that God may not be telling you what great things he wants you to do, because your heart's not close to him. Come on now. So you see what I'm saying? Go seek the Lord. Go call upon him. Bible says, call upon him while he may be found. Isn't that right? And so I just know this, that spending time in prayer is critical. And listen to me. Whatever you hear in prayer, take it back to the Word. Take it back to the Word. Make sure it's the Word. Make sure it's God. Amen. Because how many of you know Satan can transform himself as an angel of light and act and appear as a minister of God? And so we need to recognize he can make it sound like, I know one minister made this comment. He said, for every gift that God has offered to us, for all the gifts of the Spirit that are in operation, Satan has a counterfeit. And so we need to make sure that we really are moving forward with God. It takes some seeking God. It really does. And so it's not just this, this opened up, so I guess I'll go that way. My friend, listen to me. There are times when being in the will of God seems like we're going downstreams, but there's times when in the will of God when you're definitely going upstream. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? And so I just want to tell you something. Listen to me. It pays to pray. It pays to be in prayer and to seek the Lord. And it doesn't mean that you're just, now, Lord, come on. I got to know. Now, listen to me. Relax. I'm just telling you to relax. Just go spend time with the Father. You say, well, yeah, but I did it for a week. But, you know, listen to me. I told you the other Sunday night, I read you from George Mueller's diary, and he said, the desire of my heart came after I sought the Lord for over 700 days. That's over 2 years. Listen, these things are not overnight. Listen to me, if you want something quick, go down to Quick Trip. Amen? They'll take care of you, or any of the other little convenience stores that are around. So don't neglect taking time to seek God in prayer. The enemy will come along and challenge you on these things. He'll make it where you doesn't appear like you got time. But you'll have time for what you think's important. Amen. Here's the next temptation. This is a biggie. Constantly thinking of other things or opportunities you could be doing. You know you're in the will of God. God, you know, the last thing you heard was to be where you are, and then constantly thinking about other things or other opportunities, looking around, thinking about this, thinking about that, entertaining something else other than where you're at. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. I've got the ability that if I want to get this guy's attention right here, I can tap him on the shoulder. And let me tell you something. God's much better at tapping us on the shoulder and getting our attention than I am. Amen. Do you know what I'm saying? Relax. Listen to me. I'm going to seek the Lord because I love him. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to continue to do it. Whether I hear his voice today or whether let me tell you something. You can come into a place where you hear his voice easily. Amen. I'm amazed at the things he shares and the encouragement that he gives and the things that he shares with me to kind of just give me a boost. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say the boot. I said a boost. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I'm just going to encourage you to don't just look around and look at all those things. There are a lot of opportunities in America. America's a great place. You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. There are so many alternatives to the will of God that it's amazing. Come on now. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you know you're in the will of God, let me tell you something. You need to stay focused on that. And listen to this. You need to relax in this thought that if God wants me to do something different, he's able to tell me. He'll get my attention. In other words, I may not know everything all at once, but all of a sudden I may know something, and it's not because I've been thinking about it. It just all of a sudden, it's like years ago when in 2006, I came to my wife and I said, I'm the dean of Rhema. I've got a job that few people have had. I ought to be ecstatic about it. I said, but I'm unhappy. She said, well, what is it? I said, I don't know. I just know something. And so we began to pray and just seek the Lord. And so it came little by little. And so we went and ended up going and planting churches and things like that. But you know, I'm going along here, and you know, here I am. I'm the dean of Rhema, and I just think that it's one of the greatest privileges in the world. And so, but you know, I'm not looking to go anywhere else. And so, we know this. The Lord can get your attention. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't look around. Stop looking around. Don't look to the left or to the right. The Scripture tells us. Just look straight ahead, and just stay focused on what God told you to do. If He wants you to do something different, He'll alert you to go pray. I'll tell you when God told us to come back here. Let me tell you one night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt this urge to go pray. And so I went out in the living room so I wouldn't wake anybody up, you know. And when I got out in the living room there, I started to pray, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, what are you going to do about what I talked to you about 2 years ago? I said, I really wasn't figuring on doing anything about it. I said, it's your idea. He said, well, you better do something about it or else. And I said, well, I said, I'll promise you I will pray. I said, I know it's, I said, I want you to, I said, I'm expecting you to take care of that. I will pray. I will pray every day. I will seek your face. I will pray, believing for doors to open up and so forth. And so it was a month later then the Higgins and I talked about coming back, and here we are. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord will get your attention. So, but I'm going to tell you something. Every place I've been, I've just taken it as, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm here till Jesus comes, unless the Lord says something. But I'm not just seeking the Lord. You got something else? Got something else? Got something else? No, that's not what I'm doing when I mean praying, when I talk about seeking the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about being faithful where we're at. And the Lord will alert us about what the next thing may be if there is something. And so we all have, now listen to this. We all have various, oh Lord, we're out of time. Let me give you this. Let me just give you the short version real quickly. We all have various giftings. We could do a lot of other things. But the question is whether it's the will of God. Amen. And then here's the thing. Here's number six. The desire for something becomes so strong that we finally think it's God's will. We entertain an idea till it becomes so strong that we think it's God's will. We think it's very difficult to make the difference between that and God's voice. And that's what my friend wanted something so bad that it seemed like it was God telling him. And so we have to recognize. The last one, number seven, is this. Comparing our walk with God with what others are doing. That's a toughie, isn't it? And you look around at somebody else and they're just moving and grooving. And they're just shaking and rocking and rolling in the will of God. And things are happening and things like that. And you're like, what about me, Lord? I graduated the same year they did. Kind of thing, you know. You know what I'm saying? I just want to tell you something. Listen to me. Don't get caught up in what other people are doing. God has a personal plan for you. Let me tell you something. The plan that God has for other people doesn't fit you. That's why it's not for you. And if you did go there, you'd find out that it really wasn't. Now stand up with me. And we ran out of time. But I want to tell you something. Let's just do this simply real quickly. Let's pray this together. Just together. And let's just say this. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your will. And we commit ourselves to your will. And we say this to you, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so I encourage you to pray that prayer every day. Stay strong in the will of God for your life. It's important that you're there in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we've got first-time guests that are here tonight. And so a connection team, if you'd find those first-time guests and take them to out to the West Lobby where they have that wonderful gift ready to for you as our way of saying thank you. Would you just do this, church family? Would you give them a great big hand for being here tonight? We just thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here tonight. We hope you got blessed. We hope you come back. Make this your church home. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come up to men on this side, ladies on this side, and they'll be glad to pray with you about something, whatever it is that you need. God bless you. I look forward to Sunday morning. Pastor Hagin's planning to be here on Sunday morning. God bless you.